Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 156, recorded on June 12th, 2012. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Hey, good.
Good.
Seems like we haven't been here in a while.
It's been a while. It's been
a little dusty,
I think,
over there.
Maybe 2 months? A month and a half, I think. I think it's been about a month and a half.
I don't know.
Jeff Gamet's also here.
Cleaning lady hasn't been here.
Yep. Jeff Gamet, the cleaning lady, also known as the cleaning lady, is here. You're going to wear a French maid outfit, right?
I am right now. You're not going to believe
that. You call that your podcast outfit, right?
What?
That you call that your podcast outfit?
I do. Yeah. It makes me feel all good about myself while I record.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tim Street had the copyright on French maids and podcasting.
I believe he does, so hopefully he won't come after me.
I don't know who that is.
There's a great podcast called French Maid TV.
Oh.
You never saw French Maid TV?
You know, I think I might have. What is that about?
It's a video podcast where French maids teach you to do different things, like change your oil.
Ooh.
I liked it better in the beginning before they had all the sponsors, because a lot of their how-tos just turned into commercials, which was unfortunate. But yeah, it was actually a very clever podcast.
Yep.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was.
So we are back after hiatus. Adam's been helping too, but I've been working very diligently on a new project, which is not ready to launch yet. I kind of wanted to get it done around this time, but it's close. Very close. It's the Alan Parsons project, and the name I won't be releasing yet, but there's a domain name. And yeah, maybe next week or the week after we'll actually have something to announce. But there will be
a big announcement.
Yeah, there will be a big announcement, and it's going to be a private beta, but anybody who listens to We Have Communicators will be allowed to join in on the fun.
Because you're all part of our special family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so with that, we got to talk about the big announcements from Apple.
There were big announcements from Apple?
Tons. I don't know if you heard. It happened yesterday.
I think I passed out halfway through, and I'm just coming to.
You know, yesterday was the first time.
That was an insane day.
Yeah, it was the first time that I woke up and I was working, and I looked at the clock and I thought, I have 30 minutes. It's a nice day. I think I'm going to go for a run and then just completely ignore everything that Apple's doing until the video is available. And I just didn't. So I usually follow Meta
the live
coverage.
Blog-y thing.
Yeah. I didn't do any of that. And honestly, I feel a lot better for it.
You were probably smart.
I feel so good about it.
Insane.
Because I just
flipping tabs like, what's TMO saying? Oh, what's R saying? What's Engadget saying?
Yeah, I just, around 6:30, I just kind of, bookmarked the Mac Rumors, spoiler free page, and it just changed whenever the video was available, and I clicked on it and I watched the video, and I was, very pleasantly,
I was lame enough to watch the pirate video feed.
Was there one?
Twit was rebroadcasting one from like, and it was like a Dutch site or something like that. I have no idea.
I hope they were dubbed out of English.
They kept flying in little graphics in like, I don't know what language it was, but some Scandinavian.
With like URLs
or something like that,
saying,
and,
if you're watching this somewhere else, this is not theirs.
Some dude would show up just randomly, Justin Bieber looking guy, and then his face would go away, and I have no idea. It was the strangest feed ever.
Sounds delightful.
And they had to be so sly they couldn't like focus their camera, and I don't even know that they were looking at the camera. So half the time it was totally out of focus. It was like looking through Vaseline. So they're like, "And here's the new MacBook Pro," and you're like, "I can't see it.
Can't see it.
Can't see it. What does it look like?"
Yeah. Wow, worst Dutch porn ever.
Yeah.
Switch over to Engadget.
Yeah.
They have a good picture.
That's right. Why I would better. Usually go with the audio feeds, but anyway.
Well, at least you could hear the audio, although that was even a little cut in and out. And of course, it was the feed was being rebroadcast by Twit, so they were talking over it the whole time. So you're just like, it was the weirdest experience.
Was Leo...
But that's how pathetic I was at like just getting information.
Was Leo there, or was it... Who is it?
Oh yeah, it was he was doing a Google Plus chat room thing with a bunch of people, including Tim Street, by the way.
Just to throw that back in.
Just to throw that back in.
Okay. So yeah. Well, without any more ado, new Macs. So we'll just brush past that because it's we have communicators.
New Mac laptops.
New Mac laptops, yes.
Can we brush past the freaking awesomeness of
the new MacBook Pro,
the Retina MacBook Pro.
You know, okay, so they don't have a 17-inch MacBook Pro anymore. I love my 17-inch. I gotta say,
it's too big, Michael.
You might be right. Let me say this: I have a matte display 17-inch, and I have seen several people's 15-inch MacBook Pros and going, "Oh, you got the 17-inch," and they go, "What?" So apparently I don't realize the difference when I just see it without actually working on it. So I'm suspecting that if I go into the store and I check out the new MacBook Pro with the new resolution, I'll probably be pleasantly surprised with it being completely equivalent to what I'm using right now.
Well, more than, because it's going to have way more pixels than your 17.
Yeah, it definitely has more pixels. I was looking around. Apparently, they have in the system preferences, you can, because the way that they have to do it with the new resolution, they could just pixel for pixel the standard way that OS X works right now without doubling the graphics and the UI and everything to make it a comfortable size. They could just shrink everything down, essentially.
Oh, God.
You have tons and tons of space.
You wouldn't be able to read it. It'd be like reading the legal documentation on like a home mortgage or something like that.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Well, what you can do in the system preferences, you can have it Retina resolution, which is, what do they say it is comparable to? Do you know?
Comparable to? Or
like
1920
by
resolution?
No, not the actual resolution, but like comparable to you know what I mean?
No.
If you like double it up, you mean?
Like if
it wasn't,
display, what size would it be?
If it wasn't doubled, do you know what I mean? I'm having trouble. People are screaming at us right now, and they know exactly what I mean.
No, Michael, they're screaming at you.
No, they're screaming at you guys because you don't know what I'm talking about.
Well,
I think it would
be half of what it
14,
is.
It'd be 1440
by
900.
1440
by
900.
Yeah, so it's comparable to
Which
a 1440 by 900 at Retina. That's what they say.
Same as the current 15 MacBook Pro is 1440 by 900.
Yeah, so you can run it as a Retina display, or you can actually bring it down to what it would look like.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
you can get more screen real estate, or you can
microtype.
Right. You can get more screen real estate, or you can bump it up, or you can have it at just standard Retina, which is cool.
But Apple wrote a special version of the OS plus updated all their apps though for that.
Exactly, for the Retina resolution,
system, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I thought the awesome thing was like Final Cut when he pointed out that the little preview window that would be up in the upper right hand corner, full 1080p resolution.
Yeah, which is amazing. It's also, so it's less than an inch thin. It has
it's
HDMI
0.71 inches.
What is it? 0.71?
0.71 inches. So it's not even 3/4 inches thick.
Now, what's the Air at?
It's about that on its fat side.
Yeah. HDMI, awesome. USB 3, awesome. Two Thunderbolts.
Awesome.
So you can use one of those for your dongles.
256 SSD standard, 8 gigs RAM standard.
Yeah, it's a hot machine.
I was like, as they were announcing it, when they just showed it without giving any specs, I'm like, okay, that's $2,500, right?
Right.
And then they're like laying on the specs, like 8 gigs of RAM. All right, and that's getting up to, you know, $29.99. Oh, 256 flash storage default. Oh, we're at $3,500.
Right. So, but it's $2,200. Yeah,
$2,200 with Retina display, 256 gig storage.
Yeah, and
quad core processor.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
i7.
Yowza.
Yeah, it's screaming smoking, and USB it's funny because they kept the other two models. They did update the 13 and the 15. We won't go into that obviously because it's iOS podcast. But the point is that somebody emailed me and I noticed the same thing immediately. They don't want you buying the other models. They're like, this is the model. And if you go to the buy page and you look, they've got it divided in half and they've got the 13 and the 15 on the left and then the Retina on the right. And the Retina, the image for the Retina laptop is like four times the size of we think you should buy this one.
Yeah.
Don't look over there.
And for most people, they're right.
They are right. They absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't see much of a reason to buy the other two. And somebody else pointed out to me that you can configure the old 15-inch with almost identical specs, and it'll come out more expensive than the Retina one. And wow. The Retina one's going to be smoking faster.
And there's no CD drive, and the
hard moving parts are the fans, the asymmetrical fans.
the SSD is the fancy Apple version, which means you can't go get a standard SSD.
Can't upgrade it. Yeah,
to upgrade.
Same as with the Air, but
well, I mean, you can get a third party upgrade.
You can get
kit
768
thingy
in there, so
you can get one. You can get one, but it has to be special for this. You can't just get a standard laptop SSD. But anyway, so that's that.
I don't know. I'm already, you know, I have a spindle drive in my MacBook Pro, and I'm already using external storage for my iTunes library and my iPhoto library. It's just already not enough.
You know,
I think I have a 750 in there or something like that. So.
Yeah, but so Mountain Lion, we already know, I believe. Reminders, they'll have reminders, just like iOS. Notes, Notification Center. I don't know if we covered that before, but it will have Notification Center.
You know what? I know Ken's not here because he couldn't make it, unfortunately, but I just did a show with him and Victor last night. I'm going to be releasing it probably right after this podcast.
Yeah, I think it's released.
He made a good point, and I didn't even really notice this till he kind of pointed it out. Almost feature for feature, the features that are in iOS 6 match up almost identically with the features that are in Mountain Lion. So they're really, in a lot of ways, maybe the same operating system. We know they're not. But
what do you mean, though? What do you mean by that?
Just go through the bullet list. The bullet list you're going through right now. and they have the same feature set.
You mean the same additions?
In a lot of ways, the same additions. I mean, iOS had some of them to begin with, so some of the ones that are coming to Mountain Lion are borrowed from iOS and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But if you start going feature for feature with the 200 for Mountain Lion and the 200 for iOS, there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah,
so you can see how much closer the two operating systems are getting to each other was the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we are not far. We are not many versions. I think Ken's ultimate point was we're not many versions away from just a single OS for all these devices. And he was a little frustrated that Apple wouldn't just cop to it at this point and just go, okay, yeah, we're going to merge the operating systems.
Well, they have to work differently, though.
Yeah. They will work differently, but I mean,
they're just going to call it OS 10.
Oh, yeah. We debated on that too. What would you call it? No, it's going to be called the new OS.
Yeah, I right? just hope they don't go the Windows 8 route where...
Yeah, where they have a start menu and that goofy new OS or UI. No, well,
you know, the Metro thing works great for touch on mobile devices, but I don't think it scales properly for a desktop or laptop computer.
No,
I
think it would just recognize the device that you're on and go, okay, this is how this works on this device. This is how this works on that device.
I suppose.
See, I
it's
don't
more
think
of a developer thing. It's more of a code base thing, I think, than anything else.
Okay, so you're saying feature base, code base, APIs, and all that sort of thing, but the actual UI, I feel, has to remain independent.
And we agreed on that. Now, the point was that, okay, look, we're moving away from just, okay, this is a laptop, this is a desktop, this is a tablet. We're eventually, and where Apple, I think, is trying to get us is to the point where we have data and we have devices that we interact with that data with.
And then there are apps that are specialized.
The data and the experience that makes sense for that device for interacting with that data. But really, they're getting to the thing that they've always been trying to get to, where the technology, the thing that you're using, sort of fades into the background, and it's more about the experience and the interaction and the task that you're trying to accomplish. And you're going to be able to accomplish that in much the same ways on whatever device that you're going to pick up.
Sure.
And I think you see evidence of this in how much touch stuff is being integrated into the notebooks and the desktops, and not so much that they're going to make a touchscreen laptop or desktop, although we may get there eventually, I don't know. But you can definitely see that, you know, so much is going into multi-touch gestures with the trackpad, with the Magic trackpad, because that translates over to the experience that you have on iOS. So they're merging all these experiences, and I think the ultimate goal is that the technology fades away and you just have access to your data and your apps, and the whole process is seamless. So I can start on this device and move over to that device later and pick up right where I left off, and I don't have to worry about the technology or the thing that I'm using. My experience is pretty much going to be the same, and my interaction method is going to be very similar as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you go down the list, so documents in the cloud for iCloud. So they showed editing a document on an iPhone, and while the document was up on the Mac, the change was reflected on the Mac as soon as it was saved on the iPhone. So it floats back and forth that way, which is tremendous. Of course, you have reminders and notes that are synced through iCloud. iMessages, you have messages everywhere. And actually, one of my favorite features that I thought was initially going to be available in iOS 5 and from the get-go, I suppose it is with Messages, because Messages was a beta in Mountain Lion, or in Lion, I should say. They're going to merge your Apple ID and phone number, so we won't have any of this insanity.
Which is awesome.
Adam, like, I send a message to Adam, and then he responds to me on his computer, as you'd think magically it's supposed to just respond back to that message. No, it responds from his random email address to another message thread on my phone.
It, like, starts a whole new thread.
Yeah. It's craziness. So I'm glad they're doing that. Notification Center, of course, it's, you know, you get the same deal there.
That Notification Center rocks.
Yeah. PowerNap, that's cool. Your Mac will stay up to date even while it sleeps.
You know, that's cool for those of us who have good broadband access and networks, but there still are a lot of countries and I know there's a lot of people in my audience. Because I've had the emails from people that went, you know what, my device updated in the background and I didn't realize it was updating, and I went over my data cap because I'm in this country and we're not allowed to go over this, and it ends up costing some people a lot of money. So hopefully there's some easy way to kind of control whether that feature's on or not. I'm sure there will be. But
I'm sure you can turn it on or off. What would be nice, though, is if you could control which things are automatically happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I'm with you there.
Yeah. Dictation. So now in Mountain Lion, you get the Siri-like dictation as you get in on the iPad 3. And the iPhone 4S has dictation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got that. And speaking of iPad 3 and dictation in Siri, Siri is coming to the iPad 3.
Yes.
So you get that
finally,
Siri.
I finally get Knowledge Navigator after all these years.
Yeah, and you can
much
and
to
Siri
the
has been
of many iPad 2 owners, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm one of those. Siri has been also very much enhanced with sports movies. Yeah. So you can ask it a lot of different sports questions. Movies, you can say a lot of different things, like I want to see a movie tonight, or like show me movies near me, that kind of stuff. And it has a lot of integration with Rotten Tomatoes, and you can watch trailers right from within Siri. You can also, it also has, I guess it's OpenTable and Yelp, right? Integration?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically bringing back all the stuff they ripped out when they bought Siri.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because it used to have OpenTable. So now
and
you can
all
say
the Yelp integration and all that fun stuff.
Can you actually,
they had to renegotiate licenses.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what it was.
You can probably, so you can say, give me a reservation at this restaurant at this time.
And then Siri will come back and say, I'm sorry, Michael, for you, they can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly.
Facebook integration?
Yeah.
Yerp.
For some people, that will be awesome, and for others, not so much.
Yeah, and that's included in both OS X and iOS 6?
Yeah. I'm a little leery of the...
so you can share things.
They made a big deal about the contact integration with, like, hey, we can reach into your Facebook account and grab all the contacts and update your address book. It's like, no, no, no.
Yeah, I do not want Facebook being able to get their fingers into my address book.
Yeah.
They would love it.
Well, of course they would.
So it's a two-way sync, or is it one-way?
I think it's two-way.
Well, if it's two-way,
yeah, so
then
it can go out to Facebook and any of your friends who have added in their address information, you can get it from Facebook. So it'll be useful for some people, but I don't like that much cross-pollination.
Yeah.
My address
book
is
kind of sacred to me. I am not into letting other companies have access to my address book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I protect my address book above my calendar, and I'm very tight with my calendar.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Oh, you protect your calendar?
Yeah, no one gets to see my calendars.
Can I see it?
I said no one gets to see my calendars.
Well, what about me?
Okay, Michael, for you.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Yeah, maybe I should take my phone number off my Facebook.
Yeah,
well,
my
do
phone
you not have it set? I have it. I have it set to like be super private. I mean, I have that information in there, but
I have it
I have
for
my
only
public
friends.
Phone numbers, and I have my private phone numbers, and they're controlled by my privacy settings. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm saying I don't have my phone number in Facebook at all. I'm checking right now just to make sure.
I'm looking at it right now. Ooh, it knows that I have AT&T. That's kind of scary. They're dipping in. yeah, I think that's, anyway, moving on. So photo streams, you can delete now in 5.1.1. You can now share photo streams in iOS 6.
I was very happy to see that that was selective. So I can go in and select a group of photos. You know, it's not just, I was worried it was just like, oh, now you can add people who can see your 1,000 photos in your photo stream, but they've done it smarter than that. It's more like your galleries used to be, where you can take a bunch of photos and say, okay, I want to make these available to these people, and you define the list of people in your address book, and I want to make these photos available to those people. It'll be interesting to see how they protect that, if it's anything beyond just like a obfuscated URL, or if it actually has like login or some sort of validation with an Apple ID or something to control access. But
yeah,
it's nice to see at the very least you can do it selectively, even if it's just the, you know, hey, it's a super secret URL, and if you don't have the right URL, you can't see these images sort of thing.
Yeah, and so when you're subscribed to a photo stream, you get notifications on your devices of new photos being added to that. You can like photos and you can comment on photos too.
Yeah, and they show up in your little photo app.
The way that they display that looks very Windows Phone. I have to say, the comments and the likes with the kind of invisible, the almost completely transparent.
Yeah, we probably have to be fair and say that, you know, I did notice a lot of the stuff that they added this time around. There's a lot of stuff that was borrowed, I think, from other companies, not in terms of implementation, but more in terms of ideas and concepts. Like, they're adding a lot of things that people have been asking for a long time.
Yeah.
That have been available on Android phones.
Well,
and
you can say the same thing
like
about Notification Center too.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, tabs in the cloud. One of my favorite new features.
Yeah, that's nice.
Whenever you bring up Safari on your Mac, your iPhone, your iPad, when you're on iOS 6 and Mountain Lion, all of the tabs which are open on those devices will be available to you in real time. So you just click on this little tab cloud button, and it will show you Michael's iPhone has these tabs open, your Michael's iPad has these tabs open, and the Mac Mini has these tabs open, and so you can jump to any of those tabs, which is amazing because I do that a lot. I use Pastebot a lot for moving URLs back and forth when I want to jump to another another device.
The kludge. You know, I'd been using that's the only instance where I had been using Reading List.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was using Reading List for that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of those Jack Bauer, you know, send this to my tablet things. You know what I'm talking about? They used to say, send this to my screen. And then they would just somehow send information to someone's screen.
But that should have watched 24 at some point. Huh?
24 was pretty cool for a couple seasons. It got kind of monotonous in the end, though. Passbook. I believe
I'm looking forward to Passbook.
Yeah, yes. Mr. Starbucks.
Yeah,
I like, you know, I was saying this on my show though. I like the Starbucks app.
Yeah,
I've always
too.
Enjoyed it, although I only use the card portion of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
can you reload with
probably
Passbook?
Doesn't really matter.
So before we actually dive in, Passbook is an application, a new application for, I believe, just your iPhone. Yeah, iPhone and iPod Touch.
Yes.
Which will allow you to store cards.
Like loyalty cards.
Loyalty cards.
Yeah, at this point, loyalty cards, prepaid cards, tickets.
Airline tickets.
Sporting events. Movies.
Yada, yada. That sort of thing. Fandango stuff, which is cool. And there's an API available for developers so they can dip in and create cards, custom cards. Right now they have, I believe it will start off with Target, Fandango, Starbucks, Amtrak, Apple Store, United, MLB.
Yep. Yeah, so basically CardStar just got Sherlocked.
Yeah.
Because this does the stuff that I wish CardStar did,
could
can't because of private APIs and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. It's gonna be sweet. But say what you were gonna say, because I have an idea about, I think, what you were gonna say about the Starbucks card and the reloading.
Yeah, does it allow you to reload? Because let me just, before we dip into that, I want to say it does have some cool features, some geotagging, geofencing features, such as when you get to Starbucks, it will say, hey, you're at Starbucks. Do you want to just in push notification style, like an SMS, it'll show up on your home screen. You're at Starbucks. Do you want to jump into the card app with your Starbucks card right now?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Which is awesome because, of course, you go into the Starbucks and you gotta check in on Foursquare. You gotta open up your Starbucks card app and you gotta the thing. Yeah. So you don't, none of that. It just, hey, you're Starbucks, here you go.
Hey, you got to the movie theater?
Yeah, there
here's
you
your
go.
Ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Which is awesome. And
yes.
And the API apparently has a lot more built into that. So of course you can get your balance. It shows you your balance updated for loyalty type cards. And for things like tickets, they showed that it will give you push notifications for things like gate changes, which is very cool. So it seems like that API for Passbook is fairly extensive. Oh. So very cool. Now, what were we going to say, Adam?
Oh, no, you were just saying about the reloading. My guess is that you'll still maybe have to reload and interact with the Starbucks app in terms of like making that, but then it'll just push it over, push the balance over into the card that's stored in your sort of little wallet, right? So in the same way, like if I want to reload my Starbucks card now, I have to go either to the website or go into the store and say, hey, can you put 20 more bucks on this thing?
I always load right from my card, the card app.
Right, right. But you likely will have to still go back into the card app because I don't think the Passbook itself is like meant to be a transactional thing in terms of reloading cards or buying tickets or buying. I think they're going to let the individual companies still manage that portion of it. Mm-hmm. It's more of just a consolidated place where you can keep all of these cards so you don't have to go to 20, you don't have to open up a different app every time you need to find one of your cards.
Yeah, it feels kind of like a newsstand sort of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Where I still have my, you know, I still have the Wired app, but hey, if I want to see where all my magazines are, I open up Newsstand and hey, there's all my magazines. But when I hit the button, I still kind of go into, I guess that's where the difference remains is that now with the Passbook app, when I want to pull out my Starbucks card, it's just right there in that app. But I have a feeling it'd be great if you could reload directly from the app, but I mean, Starbucks has some cool things. Like Apple's not going to be too keen about the fact, I love this on the Starbucks app, that I can reload from my PayPal account.
Yeah.
Apple's not going to let you reload in their app from a PayPal account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're going to want you to reload through their payment system.
Yeah, exactly.
Some third party.
They probably had to make some, they had to let some things go for this one, I think.
Yeah, well, I saw a tweet yesterday where someone said, okay, so every time I buy a ticket for United Airlines, does Apple get 30%?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, so I think that's why I think payments will still be handled outside their app. I would imagine what happens is, hey, I want to buy an airline ticket. I open up my United app, I find the flight, I buy my ticket, and then they integrate with the Passbook API to automatically just slide my ticket into Passbook. Does that make sense? And so same thing with the Starbucks card. Hey, I want to reload my Starbucks card. I open up the Starbucks app. Because that way it doesn't obsolete the third-party apps and they can still have that added functionality and still get me to keep my Starbucks app on the phone for doing things like, hey, these are my preferred drinks.
Checking out your points.
This is how I want to find a Starbucks. You know, is there a Starbucks near me? And they can still market to me there. Because there's a lot of marketing power in those apps for those companies.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want to lose that entirely to Apple. So, and I don't find that inconvenient to say, hey, you want to reload your card, you got to do it through the Starbucks app. It wouldn't bother me that much, I don't think.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other thing about Passbook is I'm sure it's obvious to everybody here, this is their one step move toward the payments, you know, near field communication payment system. I mean, like credit cards are going to be
thinking.
Like one or two versions, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll take a break and we should talk about our sponsor for this week, which is Apollon with Pimp Your Screen. It's an app for the iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and they also have a Mac version too. What's cool about Pimp Your Screen is it's an application that allows you to create custom backgrounds for your home screen and for your lock screen. And so it's not just an app with a bunch of pretty wallpapers, although they do have tons and tons of cool custom backgrounds. They say they haven't pulled any of this stuff from the internet. They say it's all custom stuff, and there's a wide range of different things that satisfy a lot of different tastes, with a lot of very artistic things and just really nice pictures. So the way it works is you jump into the app, you're ready to make a new background for your home screen, let's say. So you say home screen maker, and you first choose a background image, and you can flip through a whole bunch of these different images. and you find one that you want. I'm going to go with the Legos for the background here. And then it actually gives you a nice little preview. So if you tap on it, it'll show you what it looks like with a bunch of different icons on it, which is cool. So, I mean, that's one awesome feature of it right away, because it actually has making these backgrounds in mind. So you do that. Okay, that looks good. You can also choose from your camera roll, or you can take a photo if you want. And again, you can figure out whether it looks good with icons on it or not. Then if you want, you can just say, I'm done, and it saves it out to your Photos app, and then you can assign it if you want. However, it gets way cooler when you give it a skin or a shelf. So what you can do is you can add little shelves to it. There are tons of shelves, so many different shelves, and that's just a really nice little look to give to your home screen. As if they
let's just spice up your icons a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? It's something that I think a lot of Android phone users are like, hold over the iPhone. It's like, look at all these cool skins and themes and stuff I can do on my
right, exactly.
On and my device. So it kind of gives you some of those effects, which is nice.
Yeah, and it doesn't require jailbreaking either, which is very nice, because I mean, if you just want to do this, then really, of course, you don't need to do that. You can just make a screen that looks like that. So you can grab something that you like. This one looks neat. And then you can, again, tap and see what it looks like with icons. Okay, that looks pretty funky. Save it out to your camera roll, then you jump over, and ta-da, then you have your new home screen. You can do the same thing with lock screen. Of course, it gives you an overlay of what it would look like with the time and the slide to unlock thingy on it. And then you can spice it up with a frame if you want. The frame is usually I think it is almost always the calendar, right? Ooh, that's cool.
And they also let you put different backgrounds behind the slide to unlock and the clock versus the central area where the thing might be. And I really like the calendar thing.
Yeah. You
know? So each month you can go create a new lock screen with the up-to-date calendar, because it's so easy to do.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm actually digging this. This is pretty cool. So then you save it out to your camera roll, change it, boom, you're done. So, so the cool thing about this is it's 99 cents. It's half price right now. It's called Pimp Your Screen. And all these...
Don't have to know Photoshop.
You don't have to go to anything else. You can just play around
it
with
right
it.
On
until
your device. Yeah, I like that.
Exactly.
Like that feature.
And... So all these images, all the background images, all the shelves and all the skins and all the frames, those are all being pulled in live from their database. And they tell me that they have this stuff. They're creating it almost daily. So there are new things added to it all the time. There's nothing more to purchase. There are no more in-app purchases for this. You just jump in, find the new stuff, da-da. Now you have a new background or a lock screen. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you
and
can
it's
do
only
like
99
seasonal
cents.
Themes and stuff like that if you're into that. Some people are really into the whole theming thing.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't
like
think
it's
I've
Christmas
changed.
Time. I want a Christmas theme on my devices. So this makes it super easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the, remember the fish, the clown fish with the green bubble things when the iPhone first came out. And then after that, since then, I've had just grass. Since then, for like years, it's been grass. So maybe I should try using this
update.
To spruce it up.
You need something. This app.
Yeah, exactly. So it's 99 cents. It's called Pimp Your Screen. It's universal, so it works on the iPad and on the iPhone. So check it out. It's by Apple on Pimp Your Screen. And we thank them for their support of We Have Communicators. It's awesome to start the show again and have a sponsor right off the bat. So cool. Moving on, there are some new phone features in iOS 6, which are very cool, because so many people don't realize that you can silence your phone and that you can send people to voicemail on your iPhone. You've been able to do this since day one and people don't realize it. And so Apple has realized that that's a problem. And now where you have the little camera button, the camera slider thing where you can easily access your camera from the lock screen. When you get a call, you can slide to answer, of course, or you can hit a little phone slide-uppy thing, and it will give you some more options. It'll give you the option to decline the call, to answer the call, reply with a message. So if you hit reply with a message, it'll decline the call, but then it'll give you a little pop-up that says, that gives you several canned responses, canned texts, so you can immediately from there, without leaving there, send it an I'll call you later, I'm on my way, what's up? Or you can even do a custom text message, which is awesome. But even cooler, you get a remind me later. So it'll give you it sets a reminder immediately. So you can say, remind me in 1 hour. You can say, remind me when I leave. So then it sets up a geofence around your current location. So when you leave that current location, it'll say, hey, remember you're supposed to call Janie Appleseed. Or when I get home or when I get to work. So
I wonder how many preset customs you can make.
I don't think they're presets. I think it's custom and then you get a keyboard.
For the custom, because you have the I'll call you later, I'm on my way sort of thing.
Are you saying you might want to customize those options there?
Well, no. Like, let's say I wanted to create 3 customized responses. If I knew a specific person was going to be calling me regularly and I wanted to have a special response just for them, or if I wanted to let people know I'm just in a meeting or... whatever. If I wanted to have 3 custom messages to go along with the standard messages.
Adam, if you had any knowledge on this, and I know you don't, but if you were to guess, if you were to muse, would you think that there might be a way to set custom messages that you can just tap on by default, or do you only get the 3
canned ones? I chat?
Yeah.
Why not? That would be cool. I doubt it's there. I think you get the canned ones, and then you can
tap and
type out your own.
That's what I would guess too, but I'm sure that'll come in like iOS 7.
That's the feedback that they're going to get from everybody. Is like, why the heck can I set my own preset custom ones?
They might even
sort of like signatures in mail. Well, I mean, okay. So, speaking of signatures in mail, just to do a quick aside. Oh my God! Thank God we can have custom per account signatures in mail finally.
Yep, there you go.
Finally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to say on that. Awesome. Why did it take so long? This is going to be the same thing for you, Jeff. I think it's like, why is this feature not in here?
Right.
And then three versions later, they'll give it to you.
Just see the pull to refresh in mail.
Finally.
Yeah. Okay.
I really like that because I got into the pull to refresh thing. It was a Twitter app, right?
Tweety.
Yeah,
Tweety, I love
it.
That's right.
It's great. It's great. That's one of those ones that Apple definitely borrowed, and just the amount of applause that it got. It's like, okay, can we just say this has been obvious for a long time, and you should have done it a long time ago?
Well, I think that's what they're applauding.
Saw it as positive reinforcement. Give Apple a real nice pat on the back for that one, and they'll remember to do the other things we really need.
I'm only groaning because it got such a great response from the crowd, but it was sort of just like,
I think it got a great response from the crowd is because it's a good addition regardless of whether or not they borrowed it.
It is a great addition, but Apple doesn't deserve any credit for
they didn't invent it,
to put it in there.
That's not what they were applauding. They were applauding, hey, you finally did this. Good job, Apple.
Exactly. Not good job, Apple. Like, hey.
VIPs, I'm not sure that's going to be something... I don't know. You can make, you can set people as VIPs, and I guess they get a higher priority. They you get a notification on your lock screen from them, and there's a special folder.
I think that's cool because personally, I don't want to be notified when like every single mail message comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I'll be able to say, look, notify me of only mail messages that come from my VIPs.
Right.
I would turn that on. Otherwise, I right now have mail notifications completely turned off because I don't want to be notified because I'll be notified every 30 seconds that there's an email coming in. It's a useless feature for me because I get pestered. So this way I can say, okay, you know, when Michael sends me an email, I really want to know about it.
Aw. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
And then you'll feel special.
Mm-hmm.
But even more important on this one is the fact that they added a mailbox for flagged messages.
Yeah, which seemed like, okay, so you can flag messages, but why? Because it seemed like that was kind of half
thought out.
You
could have to go sort or search for them, you know, or build like it. What I did was I built a smart mailbox.
Ah, gotcha.
Which, in essence, does the same thing, but now it's nice that it has a higher prominence.
Yeah, you can now add images or video right in line when you're typing out a message. So you're typing out a message and you think, oh, I need to have an image in here. You just tap and you get the little pop-up and you arrow through and you say, insert an image or video, and ta-da, you can add an image or a video right in line without having to jump back and forth and do the stupid stuff that we've been having to do.
Which is awesome, but it's only halfway.
I know. We're barely even scratching the surface here.
I can't grab a document from other apps on my iPad. Which means that if I have an email chain going on and I'm replying back to someone and I need to include a document with the reply, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm bagging on this, but I'm also really glad we have this because this is a really important step towards giving us a properly functional mail app in iOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was asking about Safari because there's a feature they added in Safari that's somewhat related to this. So I don't know if we'll be covering Safari.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. I almost forgot. You can now finally, I feel like this deserves a drum roll. You can finally upload images to websites.
From mobile Safari.
From Safari. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm guessing
so when you go to that
images.
Website and it has, hey, click here to upload an image button, it's actually going to work.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's
go pick something out of your camera roll.
Mm-hmm. One thing we forgot from the phone app, though, you get the Do Not Disturb, which I think is mm-hmm. very cool. So
yeah, that's going to be so useful for me.
You go into, yeah, I'm probably going to use it like every night. Oh, you can have it scheduled too. Awesome.
Yeah, the schedule part is what's going to make this wonderful for me because I actually have to put my phone in vibrate. But I keep it near my bed because I need it all the time, pretty much anyhow.
Right.
But I've had to put it in vibrate and try and ignore all the stuff that's happening during the night. And now I can set my iPhone to take care of all of that for me.
Yeah, so it doesn't, because I have it set my phone to flash the little flasher when certain things come in. And so sometimes it'll flash and I'm just drifting off to sleep and then I see this like lightning flash in my room.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's just my dumb phone. So Do Not Disturb is a new switch in settings. It allows you to just turn everything off. It'll just
sit
there. Yeah,
you'll still get notifications. They'll all come in, but they just won't turn
your phone
on or make a beat or, yeah, just...
And I love that I can set my people in my favorites list, which is a very select group of people, mm-hmm. so that it Do Not Disturb ignores for that, so that those calls will come through regardless.
Right, and you can have an option for repeated calls. So when enabled, a second call from the same person within 3 minutes will not be silenced. So if it seems like it's some kind of emergency, so hopefully you don't have some crazies calling you. Because sometimes crazies just do that. But,
yeah.
And so you can do it manually, and you can also have a scheduled Do Not Disturb time from whatever time to another time, which is very nice. So when it's sleepy time, your phone lets you sleep.
Tons of cool stuff in this update.
That's going to be so useful.
Yep. What else do we have here? FaceTime over cellular. What?
I'm wondering if the cell companies knew about that.
Well, you know, when Steve Jobs announced FaceTime, he said we will have it over cellular eventually.
So when it's over cellular, it's using minutes, not data, right?
I'd assume it uses data.
I would assume it uses data.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder the cell companies don't bother on that because, hey, everybody's going to use up all their data and we can charge them a lot more.
Well, I use FaceTime over cellular all the time, especially like if I'm on the road because I have a little cradle and I'm just like bored and I want to call somebody and they just get a view of me like looking out into the road, like kind of interesting, like cop style or like reality TV show style. Like, hey,
you
I'm
mean with
my
your
car.
Face stuck to the hood of a car yelling, I was framed.
No, I think he means the other side of it.
No, 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 the other end. The other end.
Oh, I mix those up all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, not cop style. I guess it's what?
No, he means like ride-along cop style. So like, you know, his iPhone is the camera crew next to him. It's like, yeah, when I patrol this area of the city.
Yeah, exactly.
See a lot of strange stuff going down.
Yeah.
This is where the weird stuff happens. Just rolling and patrolling. Oh, got a call. Let's go.
Rolling and patrolling. Let's go. hit the lights. And I talk to my partner who's not really there. But you can't tell because it's a really close shot. What else do we have? Of course we're burying the lead. Let me just go right up to the top. Sorry.
We were burying the lead. What's the lead?
Maps?
Oh, maps.
Hello, maps. How's it going, maps?
Maps are cool.
Yeah, so maps has been completely rewritten. It's the interface is now gray. It's no longer using Google Maps. It's using Apple's own
in-house. Does that surprise anybody?
No. Nope, nope, nope.
Thermonuclear war?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah. I believe what he said was thermonuclear war. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if we'll be able to still Google in Safari.
I think it's not long for this world.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got some good stuff coming out of this new version of Maps, though. So let's just spill it right now in case you don't already know turn by turn directions. Boom. There it is. So let's just say Siri integration. So you say, hey, Siri, take me to Adam's house. And then it just boom.
And Siri
and then
goes,
you're on there.
Okay, Michael, I will take you to Adam's house. Turn left now.
Yeah, and then it's
and then you push the button and said, whoa, wait, before I get there, I need a drink.
Yeah, you say,
where's the closest bar?
Give me a 7-Eleven. Yeah, and then Siri says, I don't think you should be drinking and driving, hopefully.
Well, in my case, she'll go, that's okay, Jeff. I already found you a place.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming in my case, Siri will know to
it automatically
on the way to wherever I'm going.
Automatically schedules a stop at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And then it says, wait, there's a traffic incident ahead.
Yeah, so it has real-time traffic.
Let me
reroute you. Yeah. So,
to a different bar. Yeah.
Yeah, to a different bar. Yeah, so it uses the... honestly, the UI for it looks really good. And it's been confirmed that TomTom is a partner with Apple for the turn-by-turn stuff. So it's...
Well, we don't know if it's turn-by-turn. All we know is that TomTom is a partner.
Yeah, true.
They're not saying anything else other than, yes, we have a deal with
Apple. We partnered with Apple, but we're a GPS turn-by-turn-based company that we won't tell you that we're doing the turn-by-turn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did the voice part of the app. So the Maps app, it's got turn by turn, and you can do the turn by turn in 3D, and it looks like it zooms in and zooms out very smartly based on what you have, and it tells you what the turns are. I'm guessing it's very slick. It looked pretty good from the demo.
Business listings and information with content provided by Yelp, so you get reviews and all the fun Yelp stuff.
It seems like all those really, really dumb things that turn by turn, like TomTom, that they should have been doing forever now, where it's like, I want to go to this place and I'm seriously still, I want to go to that other place where I was going, but I want to just like stop here real quick. And it always seems to take five more steps to add something to your route, and it's not entirely apparent how to do that, and unless you've played with it and you've like basically run your car off the road before you figure it out the first three times.
Yeah, it should be as simple as starting off by saying, Siri, take me to Adam's house. And then Siri plots it out on maps for you. You take off. As you're driving, you say, Siri, can you find me a bar on the way to Adam's?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff, here you go. And that's it. It just figures the rest out for you.
Yeah, or you can say, I want to stop at Jeff's before I go to Adam's, and then it turns into a road trip.
Which sounds awesome.
Yeah, we should do that. So then, let's see, what else do we have here?
3D.
3D. Fly. Well, you got the 3D, so you got the 3D buildings, which I'm not sure where they're getting the information from. I guess it's just from the company that they acquired. What was that?
That they acquired. Was that C3?
maybe.
Were they the 3D company?
I think they acquired acquired several different.
Yeah, but they were in different genres. So I think C3 was doing the C3 was the 3D city models, and PlaySpace was like matching up.
Yeah, that was all the overlay stuff.
Like the overlay data stuff.
Yeah. Did we mention the Yelp stuff?
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah, little info cards with Yelp
reviews, which is awesome. Lots of pictures.
Traffic,
yep. Loud cars.
Whoa.
Yeah, I have my window open.
That's wow.
Podcasting no-no, right? Yeah, I'm just by a big major road. That's cool.
Oh, that's all right. I made some noise during the ad, so we're even now.
It's cool. Flyover, which is very cool. So they've actually, I guess they do like massive, crazy, cool pano style, like 3D photos of cityscapes.
They're
calling
cool.
It photorealistic. So I'm assuming it's generated images.
Okay.
And not actual photographs.
Well, they said they flew. They said helicopters, they flew planes over all these locations. So I think what they're doing is, I think they're taking. They have vector-based 3D building data, and I think they're just taking the photographic stuff that they shot by doing all these flyovers and then just texture mapping it. Yeah,
okay.
Texture mapping it.
Oh, that's
what it looked like to me.
Cool.
Which I think is the same thing that Google's doing with their stuff.
Yeah,
the difference is Apple can optimize all of this for their hardware. Google chose not to do that for iOS.
Uh-huh.
So this should be a lot more responsive and a lot less bandwidth intensive.
Yeah, that is one thing that we kind of forgot to mention is the way that Maps works currently is it's tile-based. So you have all these image tiles that it loads up, and I'm sure you've actually experienced this as you're loading up image.
And then try zooming.
Yeah.
It has to start over.
Exactly. So in the new Maps, it's all vector based. In
the non-satellite views.
Right,
non-3D views,
non-satellite views, it's all vector based. You zoom in and it
lickety split.
Lickety split, and then it loads in the extra data as you go. I mean, it's all just like data. It's no images.
It's going to be nice. Yeah. I think Apple's done a great job. About my only huge disappointment is going to be the loss of
Street View.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will miss that.
They're so good at not mentioning
Google
the things they take away.
Their own Maps app still.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I doubt they will, though. I think
we'll see.
I think they're going to give Apple a big middle finger on that.
Dude, I'm more hoping
they can
that
generate
Apple,
a lot of revenue from that.
Apple busts out the cash and deploys an army of iBugs with cameras on top and starts driving all over the world.
Yeah, they have enough money to do it, and Google has shown that it's pretty easy to do. Just make a bunch of iBugs.
Wouldn't it be cool? A bunch of like white Volkswagens with Apple logos and cool little funky things on the top.
And cool dudes behind the wheel, like wearing sunglasses.
Hipsters.
Hipsters, a bunch of beardy dudes. Like with hemp necklaces.
It's like a little Apple army.
Yeah. I'm done with that.
Deploy map.
Yeah, I like that.
Cartog.
And then you get a whole another generation of people trying to like do crazy poses for it. And then they get into all that stuff that Google already had to deal with. Yeah, so Maps. What else do we have here? There's some other cool stuff. Let me see here.
Dude, you have skipped over. You talk about burying the lead.
Have I?
Clock on the iPad.
You're right. I did bury the lead. Yeah, so what? We can set
That's
alarms
the whole
now?
Reason to update to iOS 6 version right there.
Yeah, so we got the world clock, stopwatch, right? I assume. I haven't played with it.
Yes.
Timer and
all
alarms.
The same things that you have on the iPhone.
Killer. Right? That's awesome.
It, honestly, you know, we laugh about that, but there's so many people that always ask me, why is there not a clock on the iPad?
Yeah, well, I definitely feel that.
The clock isn't there. That's stupid. The calculator isn't there. That's stupid.
Yeah, I didn't see that they added the calculator. And the clock wasn't in the keynote. It was like on that slide, you know, they throw up that big, like, here's all the other features slide. Like,
right,
one of the little iPad clock. And I'm like, woo!
Yeah. So iOS 6 is compatible with 3GS, iPhone 4, 4S, iPod Touch 4th generation only, iPad 2 and the new iPad. Remodeled stores? Is that anything to talk about? Is it better or is it just look better?
Have we seen it? I don't know if we've seen it.
I've only seen I think two screenshots. That's it.
Jeff, you're supposed to say we've seen it all, so Adam can tell.
We've seen it all.
We will in a day.
All we can say is we've seen two screenshots. Otherwise, the Apple police will kill us.
Yeah. Did we cover the eyes-free car integration thing? That's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal, actually.
So where they've worked with, is it 7 or 8 different car manufacturers to have a button on the steering wheel that'll activate Siri and let you do hands-free control of your device integrated into the car, and the screen stays off. The screen never turns on, so you do all your interaction through voice. It sounds very similar to the Ford Sync stuff, which is interesting because Ford was like one of the few companies that's not on the list of partners.
Not
like
so interesting.
BMW,
you mean?
GM, Mercedes, Land Rover, Jaguar, Audi, Toyota, Chrysler, and Honda.
Right.
I think we're up there. So you'll be able to just dock in your iPhone and press a button on the steering wheel and, hey, Siri, take me to Jeff's house.
Okay,
and
Adam.
Away you go.
Okay, Adam, so, you look nice today. Will it do that? It also comment on your appearance. You should have washed your hair today.
I get that a lot. Okay, so are you guys excited at all about the guided access feature?
That was pretty cool too. Yeah, we skipped over that. You know, it's just in general, the amount of attention that was given to accessibility and the autism thing that they talked about, that sort of stuff was nice to see Apple pushing more to the forefront, saying, hey, we do these things in these areas. And under Jobs, it didn't seem like they ever kind of tooted their own horn about a lot of that stuff.
No, they did. I thought they did.
Definite focus on that in this keynote. And I thought that was important because Apple really is pushing technology to a lot of users that other companies aren't making accessible.
Yeah.
And not only that, Apple needs to really be applauded for building the stuff in, and I think it was important that they did this at the Worldwide Developers Conference. They're giving developers the tools to make it so easy to put this stuff in there that they're willing to do it because it's not a lot of extra work and it opens up the technology to a wider market for them. And that's
right.
Where the real power is, and that's why Apple devices are able to do this better, I think, than any of their other competitors.
Yes. And I think this is also really great for parents.
Oh, yeah.
Or in my case,
educators,
uncles.
Too.
Yeah, well, and educators. And,
yeah.
Because you can lock out features from apps.
Yeah. So you can, like, if you're taking a test, if you have your students taking a test, they can't bounce out and go into Safari and, like, Google it. Google
right,
answers.
Right. Or if you're like me and you have, say, an 8-year-old niece that that you want to give her access to like 3 different games.
And not the porn.
then you can shut off the home button and you can shut off the features in the app that are potential problems and let the kid have at it. I think
like
this gets us a step closer to what I call a safe mode for iPads, where you can lock it down so there's just a set number of apps open and available, and that's it.
Well, and for kiosks and museums, and think if you're a store owner and you want to do an iPad cash register.
Yeah.
You can come in the morning and lock the whole thing out and just have the one app open, you know, just have Square running.
Yeah, that is one of those issues. I see, it's interesting, more and more businesses I see around even Rockford here, they're actually using iPads, and every time I see that, I'm like, wow, that's actually catching on, and people are really using it, and it's working out for people.
Yeah, restaurants are using it for, like, menus and ordering. So can you imagine you just show up, they hand you an iPad, it's got the menu on it, you pick what you want, automatically sends your order back to the kitchen, done.
Or just, like, simply you go up to a kiosk and you type it in. I mean, either way, yeah.
But they could lock that iPad out so that, you know, you're your patrons can't jump out to Safari and start surfing porn.
Exactly. Or if you're the Apple store and you do that, you don't have to worry as much anymore. But I think, I feel like they've probably even beta tested some of these features in the Apple store with that.
Yeah, I think guided access is far beyond accessibility. I mean, it's a great application for it, but it has potential applications in a lot of areas. So that is kind of a pretty killer feature that was very understated in the keynote.
So it's all coming this fall. iOS 6 is coming this fall. Let's see. There's Flyover and Turn by Turn is available on the iPhone 4S, iPad 2, the new iPad, Siri, iPhone 4S, new iPad, shared photo stream, all of them. FaceTime over 3G. Too bad, iPhone 4. It's not going to work for you. And it's not going to work for iPad 2.
We forgot app launching from Siri.
Oh yeah.
Yes, we did.
Another killer feature. Like you can say open mail and it will jump to mail.
And you have an app called Sesame.
Now somebody is writing that app right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, send us review codes, people.
Yes, please. Make it something fun. VIP list will work on everything. Offline reading list will work on everything. And I'm looking at, just at a little list of items. I believe Macrumor has made this a nice little to make it more apparent what is and isn't supported. Interesting bit of news that just popped out. Let's see. Da-da-da. All Things D. John, I'm not going to... Petzkowski? Either way.
John P.
says, according to Apple, they will be discontinuing Ping.
Apple has said they're discontinuing Ping.
Anybody?
Nope. I'll give it a big nope.
They said there was Facebook integration, that was like, okay, Ping's dead.
Interesting enough, if you look at the screenshot of the redesigned App Store, or the, I guess it's iTunes Store, you still got a Ping button there.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, it might be that they can now finally do the Ping to Facebook integration that they wanted in the beginning. And if they do that, Ping might actually start getting used.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Okay, so anyway, the quote is, and rather than continue to maintain Ping, the company is abandoning it and using its partnership with Twitter and Facebook to make its various software and service offerings social in a way that consumers actually care about. Yeah. Sources close to the company say that Ping, which still exists today in iTunes 10.6.3, will be gone with the software's next major release, likely scheduled for this fall. And at that point, Apple's social networking offerings will shift to Twitter and a new partner, Facebook, entirely. Which makes sense because it wasn't working out with Ping.
I think the main reason Ping kind of fell on its face was because it didn't have the Facebook integration. Without that, it was not relevant to probably 99% of the people that had access to it.
Yeah. So I thought the bigger issue was that it only worked with stuff that you purchased from iTunes. You couldn't do anything with music that you just had in your library already.
I don't think that would have been as big a deal with Facebook integration from day one.
Yeah. You're saying pushing out those notifications to Facebook?
Yes, and being able to interact with Ping directly from Facebook.
Yeah. Huh. All right, so with that, is there anything else we have to talk about? There's nothing else, right? We're good. We're done.
Like we covered all the bases, I think.
I hope so. I just
about 10 new features. I think you got them all.
Yeah, I recently upgraded to 5.1.1 on my phone because the jailbreak is available, in case you haven't already gotten on that. It works pretty well. Yeah, I think that's it. Do you guys want to do picks? I don't really have a pick this week. We kind of threw this together at the last second.
You start, Jeff. I'll come up with one real quick.
All right. Okay. So my pick this week is OmniPlan for the iPad.
Okay.
Which, yeah, it's been out for, what, about a week now? And so you can use it for project management, and it works in a very similar fashion to OmniPlan for the Mac. And you can use OmniSync Server and have your project files synchronized in real time between your Mac and your iPad. And you can have multiple people have access to your plan. So if you have a group of people that need to be involved in the plan file, they can all be involved. And it's a very, very powerful app for people that need to do project management.
Cool. Maybe I should check that out.
You should. I think it's $50.
It is $50. $49.99.
All right, I lied. I didn't come up with anything. Wasn't that fast? I was on vacation. What do you want?
Well, hold on. Let me look at my iPhone and see if I have something else, and I'll pretend like,
no.
Like I have apps for you guys.
No, that's cheating.
Oh, you know what? Here's one. Did anybody do Figure? Did you do Figure already, Michael?
I don't remember.
The Propeller Heads app for like making beats?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's
like
fun.
Like mixing stuff up?
No, I don't know about that one.
Oh, you'd be all over this one.
Would I?
Totally, totally fun. Yeah, so I think it's universal. So it's iPhone and iPad. I don't remember how much I paid for it, unfortunately. But it's called, what do I call it? Figure?
Yeah, Figure. 99 cents.
And it's got a really simple kind of interface. You have drums, you have a bass, and you have a lead. And so like with the drums, you've got your kick and your snare and your hats and your cowbell, of course, because you got to have cowbell.
Mm-hmm,
and you start tapping out a pattern for each one. And you hit record, and it'll start putting it into a loop. And then you do the same thing. You layer on your bass, and you layer on your leads. And then you can go in and sort of slide to tweak the patterns around and stuff like that. And kind of whoa.
Sorry about that.
Should have sampled that.
That'd be
I don't think
awesome
it has any. I don't think it has any sampling in it. But so you start with your patterns for drum, bass, and lead. And then you have tweaks that you can do for each one. So with your leads, you can adjust the bite and the envelope and the delay. With the bass, you can adjust the filter and something called weirdness. And then on the drums, you can kind of tweak your snap and pitch on the kick, the tone and the pitch on the snare, and the fever and the prescription on the cowbell. Because, you know, I've got a fever. And there's only one prescription.
Right.
And it's more cowbell.
Yeah.
And you can, of course, record them and save them off. You can create your song. You can adjust the tempo and the key. I mean, it's got all these little things that you can tweak. But the interface is super simple. So I don't, you know, I'm not typically into these kind of apps. But because this one was so easy to kind of get into and play around with, it's just a heck of a lot of fun. And well worth whatever I paid for it, it was a couple bucks. I don't remember. I don't know if you were able to bring it up in front of you. But
99 cents.
Figure it's, yeah, yeah, 99 cents. Universal from Reason, you know, the propeller head guys, which they make awesome.
Is it Universal? Obviously. I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Is it not Universal? Maybe I bought it for both.
Maybe.
At 99 cents, buy it for both. I don't know. I have it for both. Oh, you know what? It's not. But you know what? I think they're doing I thought it was universal because I have it in 2X on my iPad.
Oh, and it doesn't matter.
On my new iPad, and it looks great. So they're probably using the Retina. What a lot of developers are doing is using the Retina graphics for the iPhone 4 on the iPad, the new iPad, and it still looks great. So I take it back. It's for the iPhone, but looks great in scaled-up mode anyway.
Neat.
So much so I didn't even notice the difference.
Nice.
Awesome.
I came up with an app for Michael.
No, I have an app. Be quiet.
Oh, do you?
All not right. Allowed. No more from you. Alrighty. So my pick is kind of a re-pick, but it's not so much. It's Instacast 2. And I'm going to say the very, very most recent version of Instacast 2, because when Instacast 2 came out, it made me a little bit upset. Do you guys use Instacast?
I like Instacast. I did a whole episode or a segment on a show about Instacast versus Downcast.
Instacast is way better. If you're talking about...
For me, it depended on the platform. I like now I'm going to get it mixed up because I don't remember. I like one on the iPad and the other on the iPhone.
Well, ooh. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is definitely much better. So Instacast is a podcatcher or podcast management application for your iPhone and for your iPad, but I use it on my iPhone. So you can jump in there. So it's completely independent of the music application. It has its own database of podcasts that you can search through. You can browse. It supports video and audio podcasts. I just use audio on here, but it has popular podcasts. It has
I'll tell
genres
you the key
you can
feature.
Browse through. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
Sorry, to commandeer your review.
Go for it.
The key feature for me is it supports protected podcasts.
It does.
So if you have a
the MacCast, for example, might be one of those.
Like the MacCast member show, yes. Yeah. You can actually get it.
The
why
Mac
Apple
Geek
doesn't
Gab,
support those is beyond me.
You can do that. But the main new features of Instacast 2 are slightly more customization over sorting. So you can easily sort from the subscription view. There's a new playlist view, so you can make playlists, and these playlists are you can have a regular playlist and you can just add episodes to that, or you can have smart playlists, and there are several smart playlists by default. You get unplayed, which is amazing. Thank goodness they added this, because before you're just seeing all your subscriptions, and because you're not actually downloading all these, you can stream any episode that you want, or you can just you can download it and cache it and do all that stuff. But you have access to everything. This allows you to only see your unplayed episodes, and this is all without. There's also an Instacast Pro, which is a 99-cent upgrade, where you can make your own smart playlists. But you can see all your unplayed here. You can sort it by oldest first or newest first. And there's continuous playback, which works in both ways. There are a bunch of different gestures. It's much easier to start playing an episode without... It used to be that you would tap on an episode and it would show you all the information about it. Now there's a big play button on all of them, so you can just start playing it right away, which is great. There's a sleep timer in there now, which is very important for some people.
Didn't have a sleep timer before?
I'm pretty sure it didn't have a sleep timer before.
Wow. Hmm. See, Downcast, I think, had that, so I was always confused.
It has it now. Da-da. Nice. Much better features for, or support for chapters. It basically had almost no support for chapters. It supported them very... Basically, you can actually add bookmarks to podcasts.
Did you say it has better support for chapters?
Yes.
All right. They're winning me back.
Yeah. Yeah, you should check it out. It's awesome. And then you got bookmarks. Like I said, you get bookmarks. You can bookmark within an episode wherever you want. That's a pro feature. iCloud Sync, so it syncs your playback. So if on your iPad and on your iPhone or your other devices that you have it loaded onto. Favorites and downloads. So now you have a downloaded smart playlist. So any episodes that you download has it right in there. So you can only access those if you want.
Dude, I like the links.
Yeah,
it consolidates your links from your enhanced podcast. So like when you're listening to the MacCast, you get all the links on a single page.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Checking that out right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I like the little slide up to get the advanced features like the timer and the 1X and the 2X and the share and the volume too.
Yeah, that was a little janky in the first release of it. It kind of irritated me, the slide up thingy, but it's much nicer.
Kind of a nice, yeah, they cleaned it up a lot. I like this. Yeah. I always preferred Instacast on my iPhone though. I think that was it's Downcast that I like on the iPad a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, they have both. It's not universal, but you can get either or.
Yeah.
Of course, you get links for shows, show descriptions, all that great stuff. It's chock full of features. I mean, it's what I listen to podcasts all the time. maybe like half the time that I'm listening to something, it's a podcast, and the other half is music. So I'm pretty picky. Really dig an Instacast. So check it out. It is, how much is it? It doesn't tell me if I'd own it, unfortunately. 99 cents? What? It's 99 cents. It can't be 99 cents. Is it really 99 cents?
Apparently, yeah. It's 99 cents.
Holy
but
cow.
You have the 99 cent upgrade. Right?
Yeah, so essentially, just give them $2 and you have an awesome. I mean, I don't have the pro features, but.
Yeah, that's one of those things that a lot of developers are doing that does bug me a little bit. I guess it lowers the cost to entry, so you get more people downloading your app. But I often prefer that they just charge what they want to charge for it. Another great app that I think was one of our picks at one point was like Paper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just pay the $7.99 for Paper to get the full thing. I wish they'd just charge $7.99 for it rather than make it free with one brush when you really want all the brushes anyway, so...
Right.
Yeah, but on the other hand, this is the workaround developers have to deal with to be able to give us demo
trials.
Versions
yeah.
and trials.
I understand.
Yeah.
I get it.
All right.
I get it. I just don't like it.
You'd think we would have seen that by now in the App Store.
That's not Apple's way.
Nope.
Good pick.
Yeah. So check that out. It's 99 cents. What are you doing? Just buy it. You shouldn't even... be thinking about this if it's 99 cents. I didn't realize it was 99 cents when I started the pick.
Wait, how much is it?
99 cents.
No way.
Yes way.
It's like the guy we used to do, you know, like nickel dime poker. You guys ever play nickel dime poker and you have that one guy that's like, oh, I raise you a nickel. He's like, I don't know. A nickel.
That's
you sit
lot.
There for like 5 minutes. Like, just... throw your nickel in and go. It's a
Here's
nickel.
A damn nickel. Throw it down.
Yeah. So we can say that for Figure and Instacast, not so much for OmniPlan, which is $50.
OmniPlan's a commitment, but everything from Omni freaking rocks. So
yeah, for real.
If you need that app, you need that app, and it's worth the money. You're not going to have buyer's remorse.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So with that, of course, you can find all the iPhone picks in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review the show in iTunes. We really appreciate that because it shows people, hey, people like it. You're a listener. You're maybe enjoying it right now. We appreciate that. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address. If you want to get a hold of us, send questions, comments, yada, yada. Audio. If you want to send an audio comment, you're basically guaranteed that we'll play your comment or question on the show if you send audio. We also have a phone number, which... Oh, there it is. 202-642-6667. But the email is preferred because it's easier for me to get at and play, and the quality's better.
Yeah, but what I want people to do is call the phone number and say four random words. That's it.
That is fun to do.
Yeah, because the translations that we get, or the transcriptions that we get, are awesome.
Yeah, Jeff's good at that. Of course, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com, and the sponsor this week is Pimp Your Screen, which is 99 cents. Another one of those no-duh, just get it things. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer. MacObserver.com. He's at Jay Gamet on Twitter. And you want to get We Have Communicators mug? Check it out. Zazzle.com/Jay Gamet, along with other things that Jeff creates. Thank you for being here as always, Mr. Gamet.
And as always, it's a blast.
It is. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com. He is at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com
yep.
is... Member
I just did an episode about how insane I was when I went on my camping vacation and how much like technology I took with me.
Yeah,
like,
you were literally coding, talking to me on the telephone.
Yeah,
which is awesome,
I feel kind of bad. In the woods because I can't escape from it because I like it so much.
Yeah.
So which is awesome. I love my work, so it was a little bit about that. So if you want to hear about like how insane like I take all this gear and batteries and. Deal with charging and stuff like that. Like that's what I covered on the last member show. So And also, actually, I'll throw this out there because Siri was such a big part of the WWDC keynote. I actually did the regular show, just the free show last week. This guy, Nat Letter, is a listener to my show, and he called in. He actually is making chocolate in Hawaii now, but in his past life, he worked at SRI, or he was at SRI sort of Siri was being developed and before Nuance was spun off. So I had him on, and we talked about his days there doing like virtual reality stuff and integrating Siri technology into that, the work that he was doing and sort of what was going on in the early days over at SRI. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, he's also contacted me about a lot of that cool stuff. It's very interesting. So check that out.
Interesting.
You said it's freely available for that one?
Yeah, that's the free one.
Cool. Check it out. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and occasionally I will review things on at Little Reviews. But with that, I think we'll see you next time. I'm not going to commit to next week. Seriously, I'm working on this awesomeness.
He's in ship mode.
I'm working
real ship, Michael.
Yeah, I'm trying to. That's what I'm doing. I'm in ship mode. I'm trying to make it happen. So you guys will thank me when it comes. Trust. So
yes, you will.
Yeah, you guys barely even know Adam a little bit more than Jeff, but barely. So, but it'll be great. So check it out when the next episode comes out. And hopefully by then I'll have something to announce. So with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A
phone. It was six.
No.
Oh, damn.
That's lame.
Well, you can, but
I'm going to call you lame.
Redacted. We can't tell any. You can't say anything about it. And then Michael has to add sound effects at the end, you know, where the door's getting kicked in and the machine gun fire from the Apple cops and you screaming and, oh, God, no. And ooh, actually, I kind of like that. Go ahead and pick iOS 6.
We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? Stylus, 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 stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Fingers. Yuck. Their fingers. Fingers. Yuck. 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 An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. An internet. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. An internet. An internet communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.
That's it. I'm taking off my pants.